Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. Last night, we got finished watching Across the Sea, Lost Season 6, Episode 15, and we had a lot of major issues with TalkShoe last night, and we were unable to record, so we're doing this a day later, but thankfully we've got a lot of the same people participating and called in tonight. Alex, a.k.a. Congested, is called in. How's it going tonight, Alex?
It's going good. How's it going, Josh?
Doing quite well. Thankfully, TalkShoe seems to be working as it's supposed to be tonight. So, let's hope it stays that way. Let's see. Probably don't have a whole lot of stuff that we need to discuss before we get into the episode. I just wanted to mention that I think I mentioned last week that I've got all the donations that I need as far as being able to pay for cable to be able to get Lost on my TV for this season. So that's taken care of. A long time ago, like I think 2007 is when I first put up the store with some of the designs. I created several like t-shirt designs and things like that, and I haven't really promoted that in a while. And so I put a link up to that at the top of the blog. If you want to check out the designs that I currently have up there, you can see them by clicking on the shirts up at the top of the blog, which is at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. And so check those out. And if you've got any suggestions for t-shirt designs or, you know, and it's not just shirts, it's also, you know, other things too. But let me know if you've got, if anybody has any other suggestions for designs and things like that, I'd be more than happy to create some new ones, especially since, you know, Lost is going to be over soon and maybe there will be some good designs related to, you know, yeah, I'm still a Lost fanatic, or I don't know, something like that. So if you have design suggestions, you can email them to me at thelostmeister@gmail.com. All right, so let's get into the episode. Interestingly, the entire episode was a flashback, and we didn't get any of the current 2007 timeline at all. And even the characters, the one and only time that we see like Jack and Kate and Locke was in basically also a flashback, which was kind of interesting how they did that. All right, so let's start out with how the episode begins. There's a woman. We find out her name is Claudia, who comes out of the water gasping. She's pregnant and wounded, and you know we can kind of guess at this point that she's one of the people who has come to the island, who's been brought there or whatever. And there's another woman that meets her, and she says in Latin, "You hurt? Let me help you." And Claudia and the other woman both speak Latin and English, which is really interesting. You know, this woman that we don't have a name for is talking to Claudia in Latin, in a very poor Latin accent. She sounds, I mean, it's a totally American sounding Latin, but, and Claudia sounds, I don't know, maybe more, she has more of a Latin sounding accent anyway, but they both also happen to speak English. I thought that was really bizarre how they speak both Latin and English. And the only thing on that, maybe the explanation for that is that they both spoke Latin because that was the main language at the time. And then the rest of the episode was done in English so that we wouldn't be confused.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely what it was. The whole episode was theoretically in Latin, but it would have been too much work to have the actors, you know, learn Latin and do the whole thing. So they, you know, for instance, in Solitary, they were a bit more creative about how they did it. They panned around, I think it was someone's head. So when you were on the left side of their head, they were speaking Arabic. And then when you got around their head, they were suddenly speaking English. I don't know if you remember that.
Huh. No, I didn't remember that. That's interesting.
Yeah, they did the same thing in the Said episodes where, you know, they started speaking Arabic and then they're speaking English.
Huh. Interesting. Kane says that there was a Latin teacher on set to make sure they were speaking it correctly.
Oh, cool.
Huh.
But I will agree with you as far as your line of thinking in that it was a bit awkward, and it totally threw me off as well at first. I thought, like, it was meant to be some, like, dun-dun-dun, like, she speaks English. And then I realized, yeah. Oh, no, they're just doing the transition.
Yeah. All right. So, and then the unnamed woman says, if there are other people on the island, I will find them. So she's, you know, Claudia's saying, you know, I want to go find the rest of my people. There were other people who came here with me. And, the woman says, if there are other people on the island, I will find them. And, then, you know, Claudia gives birth and, she says his name is Jacob. Then she gives birth to another boy right after that. And she said, that she hadn't picked a name for the twin. So in my notes, I gave the name Esau for the brother of Jacob. Being a biblical reference, for a long time, people have kind of speculated that maybe his real name is Esau. But, interestingly, there was an interview that was done recently on hitfix.com with Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. It was either today Yeah, I guess it was today that this interview was posted. And, you know, Damon and Carlton, the executive producers, said, you know, basically that it was very intentional not naming the man in black. And it sounds kind of like they're not going to give him a name at all. But in any case, so thanks, Bailey Burr, for pointing out that interview, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes if anyone wants to check that out. In any case, as far as for the purposes of my notes, I called him Esau just because he wasn't yet the man in black because he wasn't a man. Alex, you said that you were just listening to another podcast where they actually interviewed the actor who played young Jacob, and he actually said that in the script they referred to him as the boy in black.
Yes.
Instead of man in black, he was called the boy in black in the script.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So, in any case, in all the rest of my notes, I wrote down Esau. So if you hear me say Esau, that's who I'm talking to, is the boy in black.
And the boar in the script was the boar in black.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know. I'm not serious.
I didn't Sorry. Think so. Okay. That was terrible.
Sorry. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll shut
all up. Right. Moving on from the bad jokes. So then the crazy psycho woman kills Claudia with a rock. She like bashes her head in. I'm like, what? What? Of course, my wife being a mother, is like, how does she expect to feed the babies without them being able to have their mother's milk? So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when Claire, you know, wanders off into the jungle and leaves Aaron behind, and now Kate's got to raise Aaron, who's still a baby and, you know, is still going to be drinking mother's milk or formula, which obviously they don't seem to have on the island. We never saw any evidence of that. Unless maybe they had some Dharma formula. I don't know. But, yeah, they never showed any of that. So, okay, well, Here's the most likely theory, I guess, in the chat from Kane. Maybe boar milk? That's not a bad idea. I guess that could be. All right. Anyway, this crazy woman is apparently the mother that the man in black was talking to Kate about several episodes ago. And, you know, kind of makes sense now. We can definitely see how she's kind of a nutcase. It is interesting though, too, how that storyline, you know, with the mommy issues, like the crazy mother, how that sort of parallels with John Locke's story, you know, and it's interesting seeing how the man in black is taking the form of John Locke, and they both have like similar, a similar history, I guess, in a way, with them being raised by a crazy mother. But anyway, so the boy in black teaches Jacob how to play a game, and this game has light and dark pieces, not unlike backgammon, which was the game that Locke taught Walt. The preview for this episode showed John Locke, you know, talking about, you know, one is light, one is dark, you know, the two different pieces in the game. And you know, of course, that was a reference to this game that the boy in black and Jacob were going to be playing. Okay. This is a really fun username in the chat. MIB made donkey wheel says, I bet Locke will come from the sideways and battle the man in black to see the light. A Locke versus Locke battle. Okay, so there's this game, and by the way, when we start to see this scene, this is the first time that we've seen them a little bit older, you know, beyond being babies. And so I put in my notes here too that Jacob is indeed the boy that the man in black, you know, the man in black saw in the jungle. So it's the same actor and all that. So we can definitely confirm that was Jacob that the man in black was seeing. And of course, it fits with something we learn later in the episode about the boy in black and the man in black, is that, you know, he has a special gift of being able to see dead people, not unlike Hurley, which is kind of interesting. So with Jacob now being dead, apparently that's, I would guess, how the man in black was able to see Jacob in the jungle. Although it is interesting, though, too, because normally, you know, like whenever Hurley sees a dead person, he sees that person at the age that they were when they died. And the man in black is seeing Jacob as a young boy in the jungle. I don't know the explanation to that. All right. So we get a scene where, I guess as Jacob returns to his, fake mother, and, you know, basically this woman raises the kids and, you know, teaches them to believe that she is their real mother, and, you know, doesn't tell them anything about Claudia. So they always call her mother throughout the episode. And we still never ever get this woman's name. And I presume that we never will, but in any case, she's, their fake mother or whatever. But she says to Jacob, "Do you love me, Jacob? Then tell me what happened." And so basically, you know, Jacob tells mother about the game that they were playing on the beach. Later the woman says to the boy in black, "Jacob doesn't know how to lie. You're special." And she claims that she left the game for the boy in black. And she says, there is nowhere else. The island is all there is. And so she's been convincing, especially the boy in black. It seems like Jacob doesn't have any interest in, you know, whatever might be beyond the island. But for some reason, the boy in black is, you know, sitting on the beach and so forth. And, you know, he wants to believe, he seems to want to believe that there's something else out there and that that's where the game came from, across the sea, which again is the name of the episode. And so the woman is trying to convince him that the island is all there is. And, I don't remember the whole conversation, but the boy in black asks, the woman says something about, dead. You know, she mentions that word, and the boy in black says, "What's dead?" And the fake mother says, "Something you will never have to worry about." So according to mother, they're not going to die, or at least that the boy in black is never going to die. Now, this is really interesting because I wonder why that is, you know, why, Jacob and the man in black seem to be immortal. Was this maybe a spell that the fake mother put on them, or does it have to do with her biological, you know, with their biological parents, Claudia and their dad. It does have something to do with the island giving them special immortality, and why did the island pick them if that's the case? I don't know. And does anybody have any theories on why?
Well, at this Jacob point, and, you know, we know that that she is basically currently immortal because she is holding the position of Jacob. And she knows that whoever will succeed her will be immortal. And she's talking to the man, to the boy in black at this point, who, from what we're to understand later on, she is lining up as the candidate to replace her. So it could be that she's talking specifically about, you know, to him and about him, that you will never have to worry about death. So I will point out, if this boy is running around the island hunting boar, and he kills a boar, I mean, how does he not know what death is?
Yeah, I thought that was strange, too. I agree.
That's an aside. But, But as far as your question, I think that's one way to read it, though that may not be the only way to read it.
Hmm. So, well, that's interesting, you know, that Mother may be currently immortal because she's the current Jacob or the current island protector. But, you know, I'm not so sure. Here's why. I mean, obviously she was able to be killed. She was impaled and, you know, by the man in black, and she, you know, and of course we know that the man in black, at least in his current form, you know, having been, after he's been the smoke monster, at least, he can no longer bleed. You know, Jacob was able to beat him up and so forth when they were boys. And now, the man in black doesn't seem to be able to bleed anymore. And I guess the answer to that is, he doesn't really have his physical body because it was buried alongside Mother, or, you know, placed alongside Mother's body in the caves. But, you know, if Mother is immortal, you know, what, I don't know. It's sort of weird.
Well, and this is something we'll probably run into again tonight, but I think that something I've sort of realized after sitting for a day with this episode and talking about it with other people is that on face value, there's a lot of information unloaded, but that information may not exactly be what it seems to be. So, like, we could say, for example, like, there's a lot of theories to throw around here, basically. So I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Well, we were talking about Mother, you know, whether or not she's immortal. I don't know if that's where you were going with that.
Yeah, no, but I do think she's immortal. And so in the same respect, Jacob is immortal. But just like Ben could kill Jacob, they were not, at the point where she died, Man in Black was not on her quote-unquote level, just like Ben wasn't quote-unquote Jacob's level when he killed Jacob. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was going with that.
Okay. So Kane points out that, you know, and I was also kind of thinking something along these lines too, but I'm glad that Kane brought it up, Jacob is immortal, but yet was also stabbed. He was, you know, impaled by the kind of the same way that, that Mother was, I guess, when Ben stabbed Jacob, he died, he bled and died. But my understanding was that the reason that was able to happen, the man in black couldn't kill Jacob directly because that was against the rules, I guess. You know, somehow the man in black figured out that there was a loophole in that he could get somebody to do his bidding for him and convince somebody else to kill Jacob. And that was the loophole to be able to kill Jacob. So, but other than that, my understanding was that nobody could kill Jacob unless the man in black, like, convinced somebody to do it. That was what I got out of that. But, and with the man in black killing Mother, you know, he killed Mother directly, and she was the protector of the island, right?
It was actually, Mib made Donkey, in the chat earlier, he was saying that she had used, and he's saying it again, the same loophole. So basically, she set up this scenario where, because she was quote unquote tired of being immortal, that Man in Black would kill her.
Huh.
And did I get that right, Mib? In a way, she used them to get what she wanted, which was death. Yeah. So, and that goes along with sort of the thinking which a lot of people have, which is that Jacob wanted to die as well. Now, I think that Jacob, and this is sort of my own theory, is out for a different sort of end means. I think, you know, Jacob, as he says, you know, it only ends once, and whatever Jacob was doing was all in the effort of putting an end to the cycle, where she sort of just continued the cycle by using the loophole.
Hmm. You know, and I think I misspoke earlier when I said that Mother was the protector of the island, because at that point, she had already given over that control to Jacob. And that's when the Man in Black was able to kill her.
And, well, she says we're the same now.
Well, that's true. Yeah, she says we're the same. And so are they both protectors of the island? But I don't know.
I would
that's
say,
true.
But maybe not. I mean, it's open to, again, like this episode leaves a lot of moments and a lot of things that are just sort of open to interpretation. I mean,
yeah, totally open.
You could say that she passed the torch and that was what led her to be able to have herself killed. Or it doesn't matter, and that they were the same, and in either way, she, you know, continued the dichotomy. Because basically, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that she had a role to play, and that whether or not you believe the smoke monster was always there, or that she created it, that she seems to be continuing that dichotomy of good and evil, or, you know, light and dark, whereas she's the Jacob, and... You know, I believe that the smoke monster was always there, and that she was, you know, always up against that smoke monster. But
we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about that briefly. So, did the smoke monster exist prior to the Man in Black being thrown into the light? My understanding, you know, based on what was shown in the episode, was that as soon as the Man in Black was like thrown into the light, he suddenly like came out as the smoke monster, and that was the beginning of the smoke monster. Now, on the other hand, I guess the argument to that is that Mother knew that something terrible would happen, worse than death, she says, if somebody was to enter the light. So does that mean that she, you know, had some experience with that? Did she know somebody who had entered the light and became a smoke monster already?
I like Mib's theory that it's a long con. That by her saying that, because she knew... Like, the idea of the long con here is that she knew that she was going to slaughter, or at that point maybe had slaughtered that village, and that the Man in Black would be really mad and come and kill her. So by telling this to Jacob, and with Jacob knowing that he couldn't kill his brother, she was setting Jacob up to throw him down there. Do you follow me?
But what would be the purpose for that?
The purpose would be to continue some sort of dichotomy, some sort of good and evil balance, and having them each fill their role, you know, passing on a torch, so that she could, so, which would give way to her being able to be killed. Now, leaving that aside, just on the issue of was the smoke monster there or not there, you know, it can be argued both ways. I would say that the dialogue in this episode alone will kind of, in some ways, lead you to believe, to guess, that the smoke monster existed when Man in Black was thrown down there. I mean, on face value, that seems to be what it is. But there are certain moments in this episode, like when Jacob is burying the bodies or putting them in the cave, where he says, "Goodbye, brother," that really sort of gives you the sense that the brother is dead, and that the same thing that happened to Locke and Christian happened to this brother. The smoke monster was maybe always there, and that that it had used the body for that purpose and was able to now appear as the Man in Black.
Hmm. Well, Kane has an interesting theory, and I think there are arguments on either side for Mother having been a smoke monster. I don't think that that's the case, but I'll get to my reasoning on that later. There are definitely pros and cons, I think, to that argument, but
Spivey in his blog post today. And he is sort of also another person arguing for this. And there was someone else I had talked to on Lost Causes, Jamie, who also felt that the smoke monster had always been there. And Spivey was saying that if Man in Black was used by the smoke monster, it would be very sort of Lostian. It would be just like, you know, you thought Ben had it all figured out, but no, Ben was being used by the smoke monster. Well, you thought Richard had it all figured out. No, Richard was being used by Jacob. Well, you thought Man in Black had it all figured out, and actually, no, Man in Black was just used by the smoke monster. You see what I mean? Just as Locke was.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know about that, but I mean, like, these are obviously things that we're never going to get answered. I mean, I think they've given us all that they're going to give us about this. Probably most of the things in this episode, we're not going to learn much more about.
I would say to an extent, but I would say that the end game of Lost is going to rely a lot on whatever Jacob's end game was when he says it only ends once.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Whether or not they get into the details of the mother and what her motives were and all that, no, I don't think
No, I don't think Mother's ever going to be even mentioned again on the show.
And I think, in a way, that's a good thing. I think they left us with enough tonight where it's really just a thing of, you know, what do you think? And I think that's kind of what makes Lost Lost. So,
right.
And I'm not so solid in my belief. Like, if it's like, I just sort of came around to this thinking like in the past 5 hours. You know what I mean? Last night I wouldn't have thought that. Like, my impressions last night after watching the episode were like, yeah, on face value, he threw him in and the smoke monster came out. But now I'm sort of thinking maybe there was more to it than that. But I don't know. You know, I think that's sort of the fun of it, the speculation.
Yeah. MIB made Donkey Wheel says, before Jacob and his brother, there was no balance. She said it herself, the light is life, death, and rebirth all in one. Goes on to say, MIB made Donkey Wheel says, I think now the light is only life and rebirth, not life, death, and rebirth. That's kind of interesting. It takes a really long time to type out MIB made Donkey Wheel. I keep trying to like type it in my notes whenever you've got a comment that I want to put in the show notes.
So I'm distracted. I'm getting praise on IRC right now for I cut together the end of this episode and put it on YouTube, and I cut out Jack, Kate, and Locke from the end, and I smoothed the music over so it all looks like it was totally. And he's saying you should cut it into the episode and put it on the Pirate Bay so like when people download it they can download it with like with without that.
Is the Pirate Bay still around? I thought they got shut down.
No, they're around. Wait, I'm going to put the link in the chat.
Anyway, okay.
Basically, yes, it's like everything is smoothed over, so there's no Jack, Kate, and Locke in that scene.
All right, so MIB made Donkey Wheel in the chat says, I can call, I'm going to say him, I don't know, MMDW for short. All right, so I'll put the YouTube video in the show notes if people want to watch that.
All right.
I agree that seemed a little bit unnecessary to put the whole thing together. I mean, I think the reason that they did that, that they showed the clips, you know, of Jack and Kate and Locke, you know, discovering the bodies in there was just to make it clear for people who don't listen to the official podcast and people who maybe had forgotten that obscure scene from season one. I think that's why they did it. They were just trying to basically make it clear that they were answering the question of who Adam and Eve were for people who may have forgotten about that altogether. But so, yeah, it was maybe a little bit annoying that they made it that obvious, but I think that was their reasoning for that anyway.
In that interview you talked about earlier, they defended this not as people not being able to remember, but to remind people that all of this was happening sort of to directly affect the Losties. And quite frankly, that's, you know, that's a reasonable argument. It's just one I don't feel that I'm somehow forgetting about Jack, Kate, and Locke as this is going on. You know, it's not that I'm going to forget that this has to do with them. If anything, it would have been more powerful without having those clips there, because it would have been left sort of in the mind's eye, which is, you know, a much more powerful image in a way than them having physically shown us Jack, Kate, and Sawyer. No, Jack, Kate, and Locke.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to move on in the episode because we're only, like, I don't know, like 10 minutes into it or something so far. Let's see. So Jacob and the boy in black are chasing a boar, which is totally a Lord of the Flies moment, you know? There have been references to Lord of the Flies on the show. This was definitely one of those moments where it was almost like they were directly referencing Lord of the Flies by having these two boys chase after a boar in the jungle, you know, with spears or whatever. But then, interestingly, some natives kill the boar, and they didn't know that, you know, the boys didn't know that there was anybody else on the island. Let's see. And then I've got, I guess this is mother talking to the boys is the next thing that I've got in the chat, in my notes, I should say here. So mother says, we're here for a reason. And one of the boys says, what reason? And she says, it's not time yet. Come with me. She says it's not time yet, and they argue, or I think it was the boy in black who argues with her, and then she says, come with me. And she brings the two boys, and as she's taking them to this place, mother says the same line that Jacob later says to the man in black. This was, which was in the season 5 finale episode. They come, they fight, they destroy, they corrupt. It always ends the same. Actually, no, I take it back. That was, the man in black actually who said that. So we get the origin of that phrase. I think it's kind of funny how they've done that a couple of times, with the man in black, you know, where he's had lines that we find out, where they originated. The other time that happened was in the Richard Alpert centric episode this season. In any case, so mother, says to the boys, I've made it so you can never hurt each other. So here's apparently the confirmation about that the two of them can't, you know, directly hurt each other. And so that's where this loophole comes in, where the man in black was able to get somebody else to hurt and kill Jacob when they were not able to hurt each other. But it's interesting though that the mother, the fake mother, whatever, says that she made it so they can never hurt each other. Now, what's also interesting about that too is, you know, we know that they were able to like beat each other up, and you know that Jacob was able to bloody up the man in black. So that's kind of weird too. I mean, do you think she's telling the truth? And if so, like, how did mother make, you know, get this ability? Is it just like how Jacob apparently can like give people gifts? You know, do you think it's something like that she gave them a gift or whatever, however you want to look at it, of not being able to hurt each other? I don't know. So she takes them to a glowing tunnel in the stream, and she says, this is the reason we're here. And she tells them, don't go in there. And she, in explaining what this light is, she calls it, the warmest, brightest light you've ever seen or felt, and we must make sure that no one ever finds it. So she says we, which is interesting. But then a little bit later, she says one of us. I guess I'll get to that. But she says a little bit of this light is inside every man, and they always want more. If the light goes out, it goes out everywhere. So now I don't know if the light that she's talking about is like, you know, if that's supposed to be like a religious reference to like the light of Christ or something, or like, you know, so your conscience or just life in general, like, you know, every man has life inside of them. I don't know like whether that's supposed to be a religious reference or not, but a little bit of this light is inside every man and they always want more. And that's the part that I don't really get. You know, I'm guessing that it's life that she's talking about. Like maybe they want eternal life, to be able to live forever, immortality or something like that. I don't know. It's a really obscure line. And, I don't know if, I mean, presumably we'll never get all the answers to that, but, and she says, if light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. So, and that's kind of weird, but it sort of makes it sound like this island has something that makes it possible for everybody in the world to be alive or something like that. Again, that's if we're assuming that she's talking about everybody has life inside of them and this light represents life. I don't know. And, Kane in the chat says, there's a theory that it's the Garden of Eden down there. So, and then Mother says, it will have to be one of you. Now, it's important to note that she says one of you, who protects the light forever. And apparently from a later conversation in the episode, she originally intended for the boy in black to do it, but then later figured out that it was supposed to have been Jacob all along. So, again, Jacob and the man in black are playing a game together. And the boy in black, he says, you can't do that, Jacob. It's against the rules. One day you can make up a new game and everyone else will have to follow the rules, or he says, something to that effect. But, which I thought was kind of funny because it seems that, that's exactly what happened, that Jacob sort of came up with this, I don't know if you'd call it a game, but whatever it is that's going on the island, you know, he's got his own rules, kind of like, you know, I don't know if those are the same rules or related to the rules that like Ben and Widmore can't kill each other or something like that. I don't know if you know, leaders of the island can't kill each other, and that's kind of related to the rule of Jacob and the boy in black or man in black not being able to kill each other. Now, you know, interestingly, on the other hand, since we're talking about killing each other, I wonder, so getting back to the line from earlier, I've made it so you can never hurt each other, but didn't Jacob hurt the man in black? I mean, not only was he able to like hurt him by like blooding him up, but even if she meant admit it so you can never kill each other, I guess one could argue that Jacob killed the man in black by, you know, putting him into the light. And, you know, we've seen his dead body. I mean, that's one of the bodies in the caves, we now know. So, maybe Mother lied or was wrong about that. I don't know. Right. So, MIB made donkey wheel says, I think he just knocked him out. Yeah, no, I agree with that, but he still like bloodied up his face and knocked him out and then threw him into the light, which sort of kind of killed him or at least transformed him into the smoke monster. Right. So I don't know. The mother says I made it so you can never hurt each other. And yet they seem to have been able to do just that. All right. In any case, so, we talked about the rules a little bit. Esau sees a manifestation of, or whatever, the boy in black sees a manifestation of his real mother, but Jacob can't see her. And again, I mean, that's really interesting because this is something that, you know, Hurley has this same ability. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, how is it that the man in black and Hurley both, have the same ability as one another, when the Man in Black clearly is very different from Hurley in many, many ways. And MMDW says, don't forget about Miles. Well, yeah, but Miles can sort of hear people's dying thoughts or something like that. Like, he doesn't see dead people, like, walking around and communicate with them. He has kind of a different gift or a different ability. But yeah, that's true that he has kind of a similar thing going on. Interestingly, though, I mean, Jacob can't see dead people, even though the Boy in Black can. And I don't know if they're, you know, I don't get that. I'm not sure I understand why that is. How come the Boy in Black has some sort of special ability that Jacob doesn't have?
Okay, well, and hopefully this won't lead on too much of a tangent, but the Boy in Black is quote unquote special, and Jacob isn't. And he says as much when he's, you know, older, in the well with his mother, when she asks him, you know, how are you going to use this to get off the island? He says, well, I'm special, because he's figured it out. He's figured out that being special, you know, really means that he has some sort of, as Ben would put it, communion with the island. And yes, he can see dead people, and Jacob can't. And that's why, just like Hurley can, And I'll leave it at that for now. We can get into it more, I guess, when we get to the other parts, but I'll leave you with that. That's my theory.
Okay. Yeah, I can see how that makes sense. So Claudia, the real mother, leads the Boy in Black across the island to the natives' village, and she says, they came here 13 years ago, the day before you were born. And Claudia tells the Boy in Black the truth that he comes from across the sea. Again, the episode title there. And, let's see, I guess a little bit later, the fake mother tells, the Boy in Black, you will never be able to leave this island. And he vows to prove it one day that he can leave the island. And then, the fake mother tells Jacob that she couldn't let him go with Claudia and her people because I needed you to stay good. And so Jacob asks, then why do you love him more than me? And, she's kind of, you know, she's kind of wishy-washy about it, but basically she more or less admits that she really does love the Boy in Black more, but, and she asks Jacob to stay with her, and he says yes for a while. And so I almost wondered at that point, you know, if, whether he planned to go with the other people when he leaves her. I thought that was interesting that he said for a while, and yet he did stay with her until her death. So I don't know what the significance was of that line, yes for a while. So the next time that we see Jacob, he's older, and you know, he's the grown-up Jacob now, and he's building a tapestry on a loom, and he's still living with his fake mother in the caves, and yeah, and the MIB made donkey wheel says, I wonder how the Man in Black introduced himself to that camp. Hey, how's it going? I've been wandering around in the jungle for 13 years and taught myself English and how to hunt. All right, so Jacob is still living with his fake mother. Jacob watches the Man in Black with the other people, and in the next, you know, they cut to the Man in Black and Jacob playing the game again with and the two of them are now away from the other people. And Jacob apparently frequently watches and visits the Man in Black. And the Man in Black says that he found a way off the island, and he throws a dagger at one of the magnetic wells that is on the island. And Jacob says he doesn't want to leave the island because it's his home. And the Man in Black says, well, it's not mine. And we find out a little bit later that the Man in Black is a blacksmith, and he's making weapons. Not too surprising for him to be a blacksmith, since he's the Man in Black, right? But So as he's making weapons, the fake mother visits him, and he says that he's searched for the light for 30 years and figured out another way to reach it. And he pulls a stone out of the wall. There, it looks to me like in that scene, they're sort of underground, or, you know, like partially underground or something. And he pulls a stone out of the wall and the light shines through, and the light shines onto a wheel. And this wheel, which I presume is the donkey wheel, as MIB made donkey wheel the nickname in the chat, also apparently agrees with that. This wheel is part of, quote, a system that channels the water and the light. I'm going to turn it, and when I do, I'm finally going to leave this place, end quote. So apparently that's the donkey wheel. It's got to be what he's talking about. So apparently when Ben and later Locke turn this donkey wheel, or if I got that backwards, whoever turned it first. Anyway, when Ben and Locke turn the donkey wheel, apparently they are channeling water and light. And by so doing that, they move the island, and whoever does it can leave the island. Yeah, so guess 9 in the chat says, do you think it's the same wheel as the frozen one? So yeah, I think it's the frozen donkey wheel. Oh, now that's interesting. So MIB made donkey wheel says the light went out, so it got cold, and hence the freezing. That's interesting. I hadn't considered that before. Kane disagrees and says the light can't go out. Yeah, and I guess that's probably true. The light couldn't go out because, as at least according to Mother, you know, everybody has, you know, some of the light within them or whatever. And if the light goes out, what did she say? If the light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. All right. Anyway, so fake Mother bashes the Man in Black's head against the wall near the light opening. And so I wondered, you know, I still don't get the significance of that. Basically, she knocks him out so that she can make her getaway, I guess, and apparently kill all of the other people. And I don't think she was trying to kill the Man in Black. I wrote in my notes at the time, was she trying to kill him to stop him from leaving the island? But in any case, so, well, in any case, I'll kind of get to that, back to that, I think. We find out later kind of what happened there when the Man in Black wakes up later. So the fake mother wakes up Jacob and says, it's time. And she says, you're going to protect it now. And Jacob says, what's down there? Mother says, life, death, rebirth. It's the source, the heart of the island. Just promise me, no matter what you do, you won't ever go down there. And so, again, kind of getting back to the Man in Black made donkey wheel comment from earlier, he said, before Jacob and his brother, there was no balance. She said it herself, the light is life, death, and rebirth all in one. I think now the light is only life and rebirth, now that the Man in Black is death, I guess you could say. But so anyway, Mother says, just promise me, no matter what you do, you won't ever go down there. And Jacob says, would I die? And Mother says, it would be worse than dying, Jacob, much worse. And of course, that's exactly what happens to the Man in Black. But so how does she know that? I mean, that's one of the big mysteries, I think, of this episode is, you know, how does she know what would happen to somebody who goes down there? Were there already smoke monsters, you know, prior to the Man in Black? And then Mother pulls out a bottle. In fact, it appears to be the same bottle that that Jacob showed to Richard Alpert and later gave to the Man in Black in, you know, previous episodes. And she pulls out this bottle. She says something in Latin, kind of like chanting or something, I don't know, and gives it to Jacob to drink. And she says that he'll protect this place as long as he can. And Mother says to him, please take the cup and drink. And this to me seems like it was a biblical reference here, because you know, this whole, and the Bible kind of, it's more of a figurative thing, taking the cup and drinking. In Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so it's kind of similar here. It seemed to me like, with what, Jacob is kind of protesting, and mother says, you need to do this. You need to take the cup and drink. And, so I don't know, to me that seemed to be sort of a biblical parallel here. And again, we've gotten a lot this season of at least, one obvious direct one that was confirmed basically on the show with, Richard Alpert, with the Bible passage that he was open to, tying in with something that had kind of lines that had come up in previous episodes. And so this seems like it may also be a biblical reference too. And especially because of Mother's next line, she says, "Now you and I are the same." So presumably what she really means by this is that you and I are protectors of the island. But there's also potentially a biblical reference here too. In John 17:21-23, this is when Jesus is praying about his disciples. He says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Basically, this is where Jesus is explaining in his prayer, like how he and his Father are one. He wants the disciples to be one, even as he and his Father are one. And so that may have also been a biblical reference there too. This now you and I are the same. And there are certainly other scriptural passages on Jesus and the Father being being one in purpose, having the same purpose, or, and sometimes the wording is even, that they are the same. Okay. So, then in a new scene, the man in black wakes up above ground. The back of his head has blood on it. And, from mother bashing his head in, she seems to really like bashing people's heads in. And, the well has been covered up with dirt and rocks, and there's a fire elsewhere on the island. And so he rushes over there and finds all his people are dead and their structures are burning. And so one of the biggest questions of this episode is, how in the world did fake mother kill all those other people? And so I think this is probably one of the most strong places where this theory of her being a smoke monster comes from. Cain suggested earlier, I think she was a smoke monster. And certainly that would seem to explain, how she was able to kill all of these other people. I find it really hard to believe that she just bashed all their heads in because, she probably wouldn't get very far, with all of these people around. I think somebody would stop her before she had the chance to bash everybody's head in. But the smoke monster theory, that could explain how she knows what entering the light will do to a person. But here's why I don't think that she is the smoke monster. I don't think it makes sense that she can be a smoke monster, because the man in black killed her by impaling her. And we know that the man in black, now that he is the smoke monster, he can't be killed that way. We know that because Saeed tried to impale him, to stab him, and there was no blood. And so if the fake mother was a smoke monster, then she couldn't be killed, by being stabbed. The man in black, now that he's the smoke monster, he doesn't bleed at all anymore. And he can't die by being stabbed, whereas mother died by being stabbed, basically. So that's my thinking on why she's not a smoke monster. But then, you know, again, I mean, I don't know what other explanation there is as far as how she killed all those other people, unless there was another smoke monster on the island at that time. And again, that could also explain how she knew what the going into the light would do to somebody. Well, here's an interesting theory from Kane regarding Saeed not being able to kill the man in black. Maybe the reason that Saeed couldn't kill the man in black was because Saeed was a candidate, and maybe the candidates can't kill the man in black, just like Jacob, supposedly couldn't hurt the man in black. However, my counter argument to that would be that Bram shot the man in black, and Bram, as far as we know, was not a candidate, and the bullet didn't pierce him or make him bleed either. Right. So a couple of people in the chat are talking about how the man in black did bleed when Mother bashed his head in, but what I was getting at is not that he is incapable of bleeding, or that he was incapable of bleeding, but just that he doesn't bleed anymore. Like, ever since he's been the smoke monster, which was after Mother bashed his head in, and after all the times that Jacob bloodied up his face and all that kind of stuff, that after he became the smoke monster, we haven't seen him bleed at all. Not to my recollection. He was stabbed with a knife. He was shot by Bram, and he hasn't bled at all. All right. So I don't know. Maybe there's another smoke monster on the island. That's the only real strong explanation that I can come up with. It seems to fit with all the clues that we have as far as like how the fake mother could like kill all those people. It just doesn't make sense that she could have done it by herself, but, in any case, so the man in black then recovers his game board from among the burning, piles of rubble, and he gets this very, very angry look on his face. And later, Mother finds her camp and a loom, etc., destroyed, and the man in black's game is there. She opens it and finds a white and black stone. She examines the black one, and as she's doing so, she's impaled from behind by the man in black. And so it's funny because right at this point, I was thinking, okay, she must be Eve from the caves, right? Because like here she is like in the caves and she's holding the white and black stones. But then I was thinking, well, who in the world could Adam be then? Because it's not Jacob. And it didn't make sense to me at the time that it could have been the man in black because, he's still around. But, so then Jacob comes back. He beats up the man in black, throws him into the light, and he comes out, or this is my interpretation anyway, and there are very, opposing theories on this, but, what it looked like to me was that when Jacob threw the man in black into the light, and he came out as a blast of black smoke, the smoke monster. And so that, to me, was the origin of the smoke monster that we have known since the first season of the series. It was when the man in black was put into the light, and almost immediately after that, he comes out as a blast of black smoke. Interestingly, though, later, Jacob sees the man in black's dead body at the stream. And, then he brings it to the caves next to his fake mother's body. So we find out that Esau's Adam, but this is weird because, it seems to me that there was a line once where the man in black said something about Jacob having taken away his body. Does that make sense? Or does anybody recall that line? I'm pretty sure that he said that at one point. Yeah, Kate Jack and MIB made Donkey Wheel and Guest 9, I'll say yes. And Guest 9 says yes, his humanity. Okay, so maybe that's what he was referring to then. His human nature or, his body and so forth. Like he's no longer human because now he is this smoke monster creature. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder about that. MIB Mean Donkey Will says, in a way, he just tossed him in there with no remorse. I bet Jacob never even said I'm sorry to the Men in Black in 2,000 years. Yeah, who knows? And by the way, we don't actually know exactly when this episode takes place. At least not, you know, in the episode, we don't actually find out what year Claudia came to the island and all that kind of stuff happened. But in any case, we know that, you know, this story had been going on far, you know, earlier than that, because we have the fake mother, and she had been the protector of the island, supposedly. And, you know, it kind of seems like someone may have even come before her. You know, apparently Jacob is not the first. And so maybe even the fake mother wasn't the first. You know, maybe this has been going on since the beginning of time, or since the beginning of the earth or something. And so as Jacob is preparing and, you know, setting Mother and the Man in Black's bodies next to each other in the caves, there are flashes to when Jack and Kate found the bodies and the stones in the bag. And interestingly, though, they didn't show the clip where Jack guessed that they had been decomposing for something like 50 years. And as I've mentioned before, you know, I mean, Jack obviously is not like a forensic anthropologist, and they actually do talk about this too in the interview that Bailey Bear linked to earlier from hitfix.com. Here's Carlton, what Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof said. As Carlton said, Jack is not really an expert in carbon dating. Well, and of course, not to mention they actually weren't using carbon dating. Damon Lindelof says, he's not really a forensic anthropologist. We need to bring in Bones. And Carlton says, or Charlotte, she's an anthropologist. And Damon says, the other theory I'd like to throw out there is that Jacob and his mother were just expert craftsmen. They made those clothes on that loom so well, it would appear that they were only 50 years old in decomposition, when in fact it's several thousand. And Carlton says, or perhaps the fabric is magic. A lot of theories there, so... Anyway, basically, they're just kind of dismissing that and saying, well, Jack's not really an expert anyway, so it doesn't really matter what he said, which is true. I would agree with that. MIB Made Donkey Wheel says that the episode was originally going to be titled 23 AD, and so I guess a lot of people are kind of assuming that they're kind of taking that to be canon, that that's when this all took place. Yeah, and Kane said, and I can't remember, maybe somebody else mentioned it earlier, but the male skeleton's clothing is different from when they first found them. And, you know, that could have been just a prop thing. They mean, you know, if Jack guessed 50 years, you know, maybe they didn't have the answer yet to Adam and Eve, but you would think that they would, you know, like, why would they bring up Adam, you know, start out this whole Adam and Eve thing? I don't know. In any case, it's not really that big of a deal. Now, at least we do have the answer to Adam and Eve.
Which I'll jump in here and I'll just say that, I kind of like this over any of the Adam and Eve theories that have ever been out there. Like Desmond Penny, Jack Kate, My personal one was Ji Yun and Aaron. So it's just, in a way, it's like, it's kind of almost good that it was something that no one could have predicted. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I never wanted to believe, like, early on that it was, like, Jack and Kate. Like, it just didn't make any sense, no matter which way you look at it. I was actually, until like last week or so, I would have guessed that, well, no, probably longer ago than that. At one point I thought that it was maybe Rose and Bernard, because, you know, the two of them we know were, in 1977. And so right. The time frame with, you know, Jack's estimation of how long they had been there, you know, kind of sort of fit with that. You know, and, that sort of made sense. Like, it made sense that it could have been Rose and Bernard if somehow they still got stuck in 1977 and died there. You know, maybe
well,
they died
in the
caves.
We don't know.
Yeah, well, it is weird that we still don't get Rose and Bernard in the current timeline, you know, on the island. It's very strange. Like, I don't get why. I mean, yeah, now I guess Vincent, maybe they're not.
Don't know where Vincent is either.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. So there's Rose and Bernard and Vincent the dog, and they're somewhere on the island. Presumably, I would guess that when this singularity or whatever you want to call it happened, when Juliet set off the bomb and created this alternate timeline, or alternate universe, however you want to look at it, basically, all of the characters that we know of that were from the future, who were in 1977, came back to 2007. And so that would mean, should mean, that, yeah, you know, Rose and Bernard and Vincent are all back as well. So, you know, one would assume, you know, it seems logical that Rose and Bernard, you know, and Vincent are in the present time again.
Yeah.
I agree. It's very weird that we haven't seen them at all. And I kind of wonder if they're still just like hanging out in their own peaceful little hideaway, you know, like not really realizing what's going on.
They're retired. they're done.
They're retired. Right. And yeah, so I wonder if they're ever going to bring them up again on the show. Like if they're ever going to actually be back, you know, if we're going to see them in the last couple of episodes and, you know, finally.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope that we, I mean, I think a long time ago, and you know how these things go, whenever the executive producers say anything, you know, especially if it's something that they're saying is going to happen eventually, a lot of times it doesn't end up happening. But I think they did say that Vincent was not going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, they at also some said point. Something about the Adam and Eve resolution would prove how they knew everything was going, you know, from the beginning, but yeah, it seems to recall something like that. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, that was one of those things where they obviously knew that they were going to do something like this anyway with Adam and Eve, and they wanted that to be something that they would eventually resolve in the end. So yeah, just to tie in the first and last season, but
I'm gonna let it. I'm letting it go.
Well, he didn't entirely let it go because he made a video where you cut out the season one scenes.
I guess that's when I let it go.
Okay, all right.
Once I erased it, but yeah.
All right, so let's see what else here. We may have already discussed some of these things. These are things that I put in my notes at the end. So we basically talked about, I think we made it through the whole episode, but... So did the smoke monster exist prior to the Man in Black being thrown into the light? Yeah, I think we did talk about that earlier, the possibility maybe there were other smoke monsters. But another theory about that, though, is that that the Man in Black and the smoke monster are not the same, and that the smoke monster just came out from the light, you know, tunnel kind of randomly, like, you know, it didn't necessarily have to do with the Man in Black entering it.
Well, I wouldn't call it random. I would say that the throwing, you know, I don't quite have a full answer to that, but I would say that throwing the body in definitely triggered the smoke monster to come out.
Right, right.
But maybe more in the sense that, you know, Ben sticking his hand down the thing triggered the smoke monster to come out. You know what I mean? The ancient tunnel.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I don't know. I still personally feel that, you know, the smoke monster coming out of the tunnel, I mean, that was supposed to be a confirmation that the Man in Black became the smoke monster at that point. You know, it was like right after, but I can see how there are different interpretations of it, you know?
That's how I heard it first as well, and I think that's how, in all honesty, that's probably what it is. I guess I'm just kind of hoping that it's not, because it would be much cooler if it wasn't. You know what I mean? Because this other line of thinking is just so much more interesting than, oh, Jacob throws the body in the thing and he becomes a smoke monster. It's much more interesting if there is sort of this, you know, mystical smoke monster that has always been there that, you know, was just sort of has been pawning people, you know, for thousands of years. But anyway.
Well, here's another thought kind of related to that. The MIB made Donkey Wheel says maybe if, you know, going on the theory that the smoke monster already existed prior to the Man in Black being thrown into the light, maybe the smoke monster took his mind. You know, like we know that the smoke monster has John Locke's memories.
Right, right.
So, you know, I that could make sense. I can see how that...
I like that. I mean, I think that's sort of... I mean, if you were to believe that theory, that's what it is. Because it seems to be the same with Christian as well. Because when Smoke Monster is Christian, he tells Locke, say hello to my son. So the only way the Smoke Monster would have known that is if he had Christian's memories.
Right. Well, and that line is especially interesting kind of now that the Man in Black has confirmed to Jack that he was, you know, pretending to be his dad. I mean, you know, if he's talking to Locke, I don't know. I guess maybe the whole thing, the purpose of that line was to con Jack basically through Locke.
Exactly. No, I think that's exactly what it was. I think that because basically we see that the... that Man in Black, basically, he has this project to get off the island. And somehow he has established that by building this donkey wheel, he can leave the island. So then he dies. So whether or not it's Man in Black who is Smoke Monster, the Smoke Monster has the knowledge of this donkey wheel, and at some point gets somebody to dig that hole back out and rebuild this thing. And I don't believe it's the Smoke Monster who did it. I think he got somebody else to do it for him. But basically, he gets the donkey wheel built, and instead of using it now that he's a smoke monster, he can't just leave the island. He uses it to create this super long con of getting Locke killed and getting into the body of Locke to kill Jacob, for some other end goal, which I believe is to basically we have two timelines right now, and I believe that the smoke monster wants to exist in the alternate timeline, where there is no cork keeping the evil in. There is no island in the alternate timeline. So, if that all made sense, kind of a mouthful.
Yes, sort of.
Yeah.
How would he jump into the alternate timeline, though?
I don't know. I was just talking about this with some people on IRC, and they were like, yeah, well, how is he going to get over there? And I don't know. I don't know. But I think, well, one... And this doesn't really answer the question, but I think he's already there. If that's the answer, he's already there, because the split, just like the split has happened for them, the split has happened for the smoke monster as well. You know, it happened in 1977. So once the island sank, the smoke monster, and maybe not literally in the form of a smoke monster, but the evil or whatever the essence of this being is, was unleashed on the entire world.
You know, okay. Here's another thing. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Your podcast.
I just thought of something that's really interesting though, because you're talking about how the island was sunk in the alternate timeline, right?
Yeah.
And what about this light? You know, I mean, we learned in this episode about this light that can't go out. You know, and you know, does this light continue under the ocean now, or? You know, what's going on with that light in the alternate timeline?
I don't know. I'm guessing no. Like, I'm guessing the answer is no, because I'm guessing that light is part of what's... Whatever the island is, I mean, that is it. You know what I mean? And I think when the island is gone, it's not just that the land is gone, that whatever the essence of the island is gone as well. I'm guessing that the light... including the island, all sort of went. And that when they dropped that bomb way down where Dharma was digging, and Dharma, just like these ancient people, were trying to exploit the island for something and trying to get down deep into the core of it. So I think Dharma got closer to the core than these folks did. So when that bomb went off, I'm guessing it took the light out with it.
Well, but here's the, I mean, again, going back to Mother's lines, you know, a little bit of this light is inside every man. If the light goes out here, it goes out everywhere. So if that's true, then, I mean, that's sort of, it sounds like what she's saying is that if the light goes out, then everybody dies, it kind of almost sounds like, or everybody becomes corrupt, or I don't know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I would go with corrupt over dies. But I think that's actually a really good way to read it. That that the essence of the smoke monster, whatever the smoke monster is, once that cork is released, can make its way into the individuals of the world. And I'm convinced that there's going to be something in the sideways, you know, whether it's that or whether it's something else that they reveal soon, that is just like going to blow our minds, that it was there in front of us all along. Like something about this world that just isn't right, that we just didn't realize was there or something.
Hmm.
I'm hoping. Because that's just very much how Lost works. Like if you think of the season three finale, and if you think of Walkabout, you know, the flash forward was right in front of us. Locke not being able to walk was right in front of us. Yet we couldn't see it. And I think they're doing that with this, but I don't know.
I'm just trying to catch up with the things that people have been talking about in the chat here, yeah.
I can't do both.
Well, see, this is the nice thing about editing, because I'll just go out and, you know, remove all the dead silence.
Yeah.
It's really easy to do that. It's one little click, and I can remove all the silence, so.
All right, well, I'm going to speaker mute my phone again.
Okay, so this is an interesting thing that MIB Made Donkey Whale brought up. Now the question is, who found out the pylons would keep Smokey out? I don't think that's going to be ever answered on the show, but that is an interesting question, though.
Maybe there's bats on the island, and like, because you know bats have really good hearing, right?
Right.
And maybe, like, I don't know, like, there was like a cave full of bats, and like, they left the cave, or like, they left the cave, like, you know, 30 minutes before the smoke monster got there, and someone lived to tell the tale. And, yes, the bats, they can hear it.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one from last night when we tried to record and couldn't, but Clifton Gibbons in the chat last night said, "I just wish I knew half the stuff that she," referring to Mother, "knew. Seems like there was a lot she didn't share with Jacob when turning over the job." I tend to agree. It seemed like she knew an awful lot of things that I guess Jacob probably just never found out about. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's almost like he got the role sort of dumped on him, and it all just sort of happened at the same time, without him getting all of the knowledge that he needed. Let's see. MIB Made Donkey Will says, "I bet Locke will come from the sideways to battle the Man in Black to see the light." Yeah, I think we did talk about that earlier. Okay, so there's the interview with Damon and Carlton. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. There's definitely some interesting stuff in there. I don't know whether any of it could be considered spoilers or not, so... but, you know, you can definitely check that out. Looks like an interesting interview. It's very long, so be prepared to take some time to read it. Screenshots and Easter eggs. I didn't really see too much in the way of Easter eggs in this episode, but, you know, or like interesting screenshots that really stood out to me, but.
Wait, just jumping back, there are some minor spoilers. Is that today's article with Damon and Carlton?
Yeah, the hitfix.com.
Yeah. So there's some minor spoilers. It's the last two or three questions are spoilers.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put that in the spoiler section of the show notes then.
Okay. It's minor. It's very minor, but yeah.
Yeah. Yes. This is another interesting point from MIB Made Donkey Wheel. One more thing. When the Man in Black went to live with the camp, the other people on the island, he learned greed, mistrust, and all the other things... all the other bad things from them, and it was like their mother knew that he had taken all that bad energy. That's kind of interesting. In any case, yeah, I mean, mother.
I like that actually.
Yeah, I'm not sure I entirely get that, but in any case, it makes sense that's where the Man in Black kind of learned all of his evil traits, you know, like how he learned to be a bad human, and you know, and that kind of makes sense. So,
well, and there's a sense that Jacob is sort of respecting the distance, yeah. And he follows up and says, "Jacob stayed pure." Yeah, It's like the sense that Jacob is keeping a distance and sort of looking at people sort of more in their more is like is an overarching, you know, thing of like, okay, they are, it's anything before that is just progress, you know what I mean? Whereas Man in Black, you know, they come, they fight, that is, I think the episode definitely backs up those lines from the incident.
Right. Okay. So the only other things before we get into the sort of potential spoiler area of the podcast, again, I'll put a link to that YouTube video, that you made, Alex, in the show notes. I guess I'll just put that under the probably screenshots and Easter eggs. That's, that's about closest place that I can think to put it. So, all right. So from here on out, there may be spoilers. Some of these things are not spoilers. Some of these things, some people might consider to be spoilers. So I just kind of threw it all into the spoiler section, but, I don't think much of this is like really dramatic, except for at the very end, I'll talk about the titles of the title of next week's episode. Anyway, we've already been told.
Spoilers. I would say the most spoilerish thing is the thing that this kid said on the interview, but I don't know if you want to include that or not. It's not like a. If that's
more spoilery than like the episode title of next week, then yeah, we'll save that for this for probably the end, like after we get past the other less spoilery spoilers. Okay, don't let me forget about that though. What's the actor's name? The young Jacob.
His name is I keep forgetting it. Kenton Duty. KENTONDUTY.
Ah, okay, here we go. Yeah, Kenton Duty. Okay, cool. So that's the kid who played the young Jacob in this episode. So he's the one who gave this interview that you were listening to earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so... first of all, let's go to the preview. It really does not spoil anything, I don't think. It's all random clips of Jack, Ben, Sun and Jin, I think maybe the temple, like Saeed being brought out of the water or something, I don't know. Clips from the Flash sideways. One in particular that I remember was James punching the mirror, the Man in Black breaking the bottle.
Yeah, there was a lot of mirror stuff going on there. Like a lot of clips from the sideways of the mirrors.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all they showed in the preview. There was basically like, I didn't see any clips of like upcoming episodes. And, you know, Damon and Carlton both have said that, I don't know. One of them at least said, I think recently on the official Lost podcast, that basically they look at the, the episode prior to the finale episode as kind of leading into the finale. And they said they've kind of looked at it that way in other seasons too, but, so they kind of feel like this next episode is kind of like, you know, leading into the finale, which, kind of makes sense that, you know, that they wouldn't want to, that ABC maybe also was kind of thinking along the same lines of not wanting to spoil too much of what's coming up at the end of the show. In any case, there's not much in the way of spoilers from the preview, but...
Yeah, and the music for the preview was The Doors, The End, so...
It was called... The Doors song called, what, The End, you said?
The End, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Because as I've mentioned in a previous spoiler section of the podcast, that's supposed to be the title of the last episode of Lost.
Yeah.
The End, which is not a huge dramatic spoiler because, hello, it's the end of the show so.
I would say none of the titles this season have been that spoilerish, you know? It hasn't been like in season 4 it was like Meet Kevin Johnson, you know what I mean? Or whatever, like you knew that was going to be the Michael thing, so...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to get into something from Geronimo Jaxbeard, and this is more... it's much more of a theory than it is a spoiler, but let's see. but it has something to do with what was in the script. So just in case people kind of feel like things from the script might be considered spoilers, I kind of threw it in this section. But after Saeed tells Jack, this is referring to the previous episode, The Candidate. After Saeed tells Jack that Desmond is in the well, he also says, "It's going to be you, Jack." And according to Beth Shady on the podcast, Sidekick 22, she says that in the script, "you" is underlined. So it's going to be you, Jack. It's emphasized. And when I was watching this scene originally, I assumed that Saeed meant that Jack was going to be the one to save Desmond, because he says it right after he says that Desmond is in the well. It's going to be you, Jack. So it's kind of like, I just assumed that what he meant by that was, you're going to go save Desmond. But this is interesting, because the script then has a direction after right after that line. And the stage direction just after this line says, "And Jack's just as confused by that as we are." So, you know, this line, "It's going to be you, Jack," was supposed to be confusing to Jack and to the audience. Well, so
I don't know. I took it at the time as Saeed meaning that Jack was going to be the candidate, and hence the title of the episode.
Well, and that's exactly what Jorge Garcia and Beth Shady were also kind of speculating about, that was, you know, Saeed is basically telling Jack that he's the candidate who's going to replace Jacob. And that's exactly kind of where I was going with this, is that they both agreed that seemed to be what that line was really talking about. It's funny because that also sort of seems to mean that Jack's remark about Locke being a candidate was a red herring, and that the candidate is actually Jack. So the episode title was not maybe referring to John Locke being a candidate for surgery, but actually indeed referring to the candidate, meaning Jack. But here's an alternate, you know, way to look at that, or kind of a problem with that theory, is that, you know, how would Saeed have known that Jack would be the candidate to replace Jacob? I mean, how could he possibly have known that? You know, where did he get this revelation? You know, that part of it doesn't necessarily make any sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. It doesn't make sense. And one can start filling in blanks, but on face value, no, it doesn't make sense. I mean, one could say, oh, yeah, well, Saeed's been hanging out with Man in Black. Maybe he blah, 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 blah. But that's all kind of, you know, on face value, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So in any case, it's something to kind of consider anyway. That's, again, why I kind of put that in the spoiler section, because, you know, that may spoil the fact that, you know, Jack is going to be the one to replace Jacob. You know, that's anyway. I mean, well, the whole thing about Saeed, you know, maybe knowing that Jack was going to be the candidate, you know, like, I mean, Saeed is infected. He's on the Man in Black side. Like, how is he going to know that who's going to replace Jacob? I just don't get it.
And I'm not convinced that there is going to be necessarily a Jacob replacement. The candidates, it may be a candidate. Jacob's quote-unquote candidates may be a candidate for something else. Again, Jacob wants the cycle to end. He says it only ends once. So, you know, hopefully it's not just going to be as simple as someone replacing Jacob, the end of Lost. Hopefully it's going to be that they're going towards some other end game here, and that Jacob is setting up this person to do something other than just, quote-unquote, replace him.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I guess that makes sense. I mean, it wouldn't be too much of a resolution of the whole show to just, you know, have this whole thing start all over again. You know, that would be kind of boring.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for it to just be, oh, Jack replaces Jacob and now the circle of life starts, you know, anew, you know, that,
and
yeah.
They told us last year it only ends once. And that has to be significant. As far as Jacob's end game, or end goal, which I think, again, as I said earlier, you know, is partly maybe why Jacob perhaps wanted to die, so that this could all happen. But
yeah. All right, so getting into stuff from the official Lost podcast, Carlton Cuse said the issue of Kate apparently not being a candidate, and again, apparently not being a candidate, will be addressed in the show. That's not his exact words, but they've actually brought this up before on the official podcast about how Kate's name was indeed crossed out in the cave, but and by the way, there's a good picture of that up on the Geronimo Jaxbeard blog. There's a photograph of Austin being crossed out on the cave wall, if you want to see a really good shot of that. So the name is crossed out in the cave, but the executive producers have said that it was not crossed. They've confirmed that it's not crossed out in the lighthouse. So, you know, this whole issue of Kate, you know, according to the Man in Black and according to Widmore not being on the list, not being a candidate, they said it's going to be addressed in the show. I personally, I'm still holding out for Jacob having some special purpose for Kate, and that's why he's intentionally, like, trying to keep people from knowing that she's still a candidate. All right. Not all people who are dead on the show, this is not really a spoiler at all, but not all people who are dead on the show are manifestations of the Man in Black. Hurley sees dead people on a regular basis because he has a special ability, so he can see genuine dead people such as Isabella. Again, not their exact words, but that's more or less what they're talking about here. And most of that is, you know, I would say pretty obvious, but just in case there's any confusion, and the reason they brought this whole thing up was, you know, I guess some people had been speculating that when Michael came to Hurley, that was really, like, I don't know, like the Man in Black, or, you know, or maybe he was working for the Man in Black or something, because we know the Man in Black can't take anyone else's form other than John Locke right now and the Smoke Monster. So, the theory that was suggested was that Michael kind of work and the other Whisper people work for the Man in Black. And so they said, we're not going to answer like all of those questions exactly. But, suffice it to say that, you know, not all dead people on the show are manifestations of the Man in Black or necessarily work for the Man in Black. So, and they gave Isabella kind of a specific example of that, but they also said not all of the rules will be revealed. And Carlton Cuse specifically said some of them, this is a quote, some of them will become clear, others you as an audience member are going to get to speculate about after the show is over.
I like how he said that phrase, like, oh yeah, like, good for you, you'll get to speculate about it. Like, it's a gift.
Yeah, you're going to get to speculate. Like, it's some privilege that we get to speculate about some of the rules after the show is over. I mean, like, I get it. Like, I totally understand that they don't want to reveal everything because it would, and in fact, Damon Lindelof, you know, said, and I haven't seen The Matrix Reloaded, but he's like, if you want to, you know, to know why we, you know, why we're not giving all the answers away, you know, look for the scene where Neo is talking to the, what's he called? The creator.
I don't even remember something. What the guy's name is.
Yeah. The architect. That's what it was.
Yeah. The architect.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Did you see the first Matrix?
I saw the first one.
Yeah. The first Matrix is great. And it's like, they should have just stopped there.
I mean, yeah.
It's basically they, instead of having a trilogy and then having a prequel, they just jumped right into Phantom Menace with the second one. Also, actually, the third one, I gotta say, the third one is kind of cool. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens, but as far as story, it's not great.
So, in any case, that's basically what the deal is, why they're not going to fully explain the rules. It sounds like, you know, well, again, Carlton Cuse says some of them will become clear. And I don't know if he was just talking about this episode or if we're still going to get more about that. I guess we'll have to see, but
I listened to that as well, and what I took away was that they are not going to explain what Ben and Widmore's rules are.
Right, right. They're not going to explain Ben and Widmore's rules. Right.
I think Ben and Widmore, that plot line kind of fell to the wayside. or it just became less important. Now it seems to be more about Widmore versus Smokey.
Right. It is interesting, though, because, you know, again, in this episode, that whole thing where Jacob, you know, would eventually get to create a game of his own with his own rules, you know, it kind of seems like the Ben and Widmore's rules are part of, you know, Jacob's game or Jacob's rules or whatever.
And then it just occurred to me, I have a slight other spoiler regarding this matter. I guess is now a good time?
Or, sure.
Well, basically, Michael Emerson did an interview yesterday with Comic, I believe it's Comic News Insider, is that it? And he said that he does have scenes with Widmore this season. So, like, huh. There will be a Ben Widmore. They will at least have some sort of interaction. I believe he elaborated a bit more about it, but I'll dig up the link so you can link to it if anyone wants to listen to the whole thing. But basically they are going to be seen together again.
Wow, that's interesting. That's pretty big. I'm surprised that he would reveal something like that.
Well, but I mean, when you think about it, it's not that surprising that, I mean, Ben and Widmore, they set up this huge thing that they would see each other again. I mean, it's actually my theory that Ben and Richard and all of them are already on Hydra Island. I think they were the ones that put the bombs in the plane, because Richard was all like, "Yeah, we're gonna go back to the barracks and get the explosives to blow the plane up."
Mm-hmm.
For all we know, they're already hanging out with Widmore.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, I was thinking maybe like he was talking about a flash sideways or a flashback.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. That could be it as well. I mean, he didn't specify at all. Like, he didn't give any context. So, he may have given a little more, but it was nothing that would reveal, like, if it was a sideways versus a island or something like that.
Yeah, I think the most plausible theory, I like the theory that you suggested that Ben is going to be, you know, that Ben is with Widmore right now, or he's going to run into Widmore, you know, and that they're going to be, you know, whether on the same side or not, you know, I would guess that they're going to probably team up, you know, in this case, but.
Yeah, and then there was one other thing Michael Emerson said, and this is, I would not even classify this as a spoiler. Well, it's a DVD, Lost Season 6 DVD spoiler. Apparently they shot a 14-minute epilogue for Ben for the DVD.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Now,
Where did you hear that?
It could be that it was for all the characters, but the way I interpreted it from what he said was that it was for he said, you know, I shot a 14-minute epilogue.
Was this also in the Comic News Insider interview?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I hope I'm getting that right, Comic News Insider. It's Jimmy Aquino. I'll go in and double-check as we're talking, but yeah.
So he filmed a 14-minute epilogue that's going to be on the season 6 DVDs.
Hmm?
Huh.
Yeah, it's Comic News Insider. Jimmy Aquino.
Can you paste a link to that in the chat if you've got it?
I'm getting it right now.
Okay. Now, of course, I'll put that link in the show notes,
too.
There
you go. There's the link.
Ah, thanks.
Yeah, I found that really sort of odd. I mean, I'm just really curious, like, what... Like, when they say, well, obviously we don't even know what the fate of Ben's character is. I mean, Michael Emerson spoke on the resolution. He didn't say whether Ben lives or dies or anything like that. But
I haven't read this interview, but my thought on that
audio,
is just
it's
that...
It's a podcast, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't listened to this interview, but my thought is that, probably, well, at least a possibility is that he didn't, maybe he like did a voiceover for it or something like that. Did he actually say filmed? Like, as in like he was on camera or did he just do a voiceover?
Yeah, no, it's something they shot from what I, as I recall. I mean, I cannot remember the exact wording, and short of going through it's like a half an hour interview, short of going through it now.
But was he, in this epilogue, was he as Michael Emerson, like, narrating, or was he as Ben?
No, he was Ben.
The character.
He was Ben, the character. It was like, it's Ben, it's 14 minutes. The way I understood it, it's a 14-minute thing about Ben. Whether it's Ben after the show ends, or whether it's Ben, like, something from during Lost that they never shot, you know what I mean? Which is which is my guess of what it's going to be. It's going to be, like, something from Ben that they never showed in the show.
Weird. Well, that'll be interesting.
Well, it'll be really interesting if they do it for every character, or for a lot of the characters, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that would really be, like, wow. Like, so, like, some of the answers that maybe they couldn't do on the show, that, you know, they could at least give the fans, that would be kind of cool. Sort of like the Mobisodes. Remember how, like, there were a couple Mobisodes that sort of, they didn't quite answer stuff, but they, like, there was the one with Sun and Michael, where they sort of confirmed the fan speculation that there may have been a romantic thing there by showing them almost kissing. Do you remember that?
Wait, say it again? Sorry.
One of the Mobisodes, I'm saying that maybe these will be like extended Mobisodes, that they'll show sort of moments from the show that we never saw.
Okay.
And there, some of those Mobisodes were more significant, and one of them was between Sun and Michael, where they almost kissed each other.
Oh, right, right.
Maybe something like that, but like 14 minutes of that, you know.
Yeah, 14-minute
kiss between Ben and...
No!
Juliet unconscious.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, what else have I got here? Okay, so getting back to the official Lost podcast, Carlton Cuse made kind of a casual comment about the Egyptians having built the Toweret, a.k.a. the four-toed foot statue. But then Damon immediately seemed surprised, you know, about this. And, you know, you can never tell by the reactions, but, you know, so this may or may not have actually been decided by the writers. I just thought it was interesting how Carlton kind of mentioned it casually, you know. And I don't know if this was just his own theory
I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this is close to the end of the podcast, and I don't have the transcript in front of me, you know, but basically Carlton said, you know, look, we could answer all these questions. We could do spinoffs about, like, you know, how the Egyptians built Toweret, and, like, Damon, like, stopped him and was like, what? The Egyptians built Toweret? You know?
Ah, and, okay. All right.
Yeah. And in any case, so I don't know whether that was just Carlton Cuse's, like, kind of assumption that maybe there were Egyptians on the island. Maybe they never really, maybe the writers never really came up with a specific, you know, answer to that question. And it was always meant to be a mystery. Either that, or that was something that the writers came up with, and Damon was, you know, pretending to be surprised, you know.
Well, see, there's, like, extreme irony in that statement, because, like, Toweret is an Egyptian god, so Egyptians not to have built Toweret would make, you know, a lot less sense than the Egyptians building Toweret, so...
Well, but how and when did Egyptians ever come to the island, though? That's what's weird.
Well, I think they were there before the, you know, before what we saw last night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too.
And I'm still not convinced we're not going to see something like them building Tower or, like, a overall island history.
No, we're not going to get any more of that on the show, I don't think. I think they pretty much said no in the last official podcast. I mean, that's, you know, Carlton said, you know, he said, like, we're not going to see, like, the Egyptians building Toweret or something to that effect, you know, so.
I don't know, man. I still think, like, there may just be, like, a huge, like, even if it's just, like, a montage, like, with, like, just some Giacchino, or just, like, for instance, like, okay, you see, like, the Egyptians building Toweret, then you see, like, the De Groots, like, arriving on the island.
No.
You see, like, the U.S. military, like, all in one montage, and then, like, you see, like, Rudzinski killing himself, and, like, I'm telling you, man, I think that would be awesome if there was something like that. Just, like, even if they didn't, you know, spend a lot of time on it, just, like, put some Giacchino on and... and see, like, all these moments of Island history.
Uh-huh, yeah. I don't think we're ever going to see the DeGroots again, ever. Well, I mean, look, there were so many, like, plot elements where they could
be. Like an In-N-Out burger, since I'm going to be out there in California when this thing goes down, that we're going to, maybe not that we're going to see the DeGroots, but that we're going to see a lot more of the history of the island.
Okay, very well. I will buy you an In-N-Out burger if we see the DeGroots. How's that?
No, because I think you're right. I don't think we're going to see the DeGroots.
All right, anyway, so let's move on. What else have we got here? Okay, so they executive producers revealed that the title for next week's episode, so there's two episodes left. There's next week, which they just revealed the episode title is What They Died For. And of course, they've told us previously on an official podcast that the final episode's going to be titled The End. So now we know the two last episodes' titles. And interestingly, Damon said that after watching The Candidate, he said, now you understand perhaps what that title, What They Died For, means. So I don't know that necessarily we're going to have like other main characters dying necessarily. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm sure we'll have other deaths. But it was interesting, though, that he said, you know, kind of in context of The Candidate, he said, now you understand perhaps what that title means, referring to what they died for. So, I don't know I don't know, for all I know, maybe he could be talking about not just, like, Sun and Jin and Frank Lapidus. And by the way, I guess I maybe should have mentioned that earlier in the show, but I put it in my show notes for last week, but I didn't actually record it in last week's podcast. But Frank Lapidus also died, and I don't think we mentioned that on the podcast last week. apparently died. As a matter of fact, like in the opening scene of this episode, of this week's episode, Across the Sea, I thought, you know, when you see this like hand coming up out of the water, I'm like, oh my gosh, Frank Lapidus is still alive. I thought for a brief second there that like he was going to come up out of the water, but that didn't happen. Okay, so Alex, you've talked to us about the Michael Emerson interview spoilers. So what's the spoiler from Kenton Duty, the man who played boy who played the young Jacob in the interview that you listened to earlier tonight? And by the way, do you know what podcast that was so we can link to it or give him credit?
It's Lost Causes. It's a Blog Talk Radio show. They do have an RSS feed, but they're not on iTunes. I'm gonna get you the link. Hopefully the interview is up now to download, so I can just give you
that. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it's
Blog Talk.
Well, Lost Causes. It's right. It's kind of a long URL, but they have a live journal at the Lost Causes. It's thelostcauses.livejournal.com. And if you go there, you can find the interview. It's called Special Guest Kenton Duty on Lost Causes.
I also put some links in the chat, which...
Yeah, it doesn't look like they've actually posted the episode yet,
though. Well, the second link I just posted should have it.
Oh, do they have it up? Okay.
I'll double check, but I believe download. Yeah, it's here. Yeah, it's there. The second link I posted has it. I don't know if it's Abiturno, but it's not Abiturno.
Yeah, I wonder what was up with that. That's really weird.
Her bad, I think. Jamie's bad. Yeah. But okay. So the spoiler is that he is gonna reappear on the show. The actor.
Okay.
And, you know, as young Jacob, and that, all right, are you ready for it?
I don't know.
I don't remember all the actors, but he has scenes, and I don't know if it's one scene or multiple scenes, with, like, pretty much all of the main, like, you know, Desmond, Jack, Kate, Hurley, blah, 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 blah. Like, a bunch of the main actors he met and had a scene with, or scenes with. So, there you go.
Which people did he specifically mention?
I don't remember them all. There was literally more than five. It was a bunch of the main cast members. Like wow, regulars. Like series regulars.
Like, was Ben mentioned?
I believe so.
No, that's interesting because that would sort of imply that Ben and Kate and all those kind of, you know, get back together
yeah,
again.
Yeah, that was the gist I got, that they were all together. So, that's a spoiler. And there's actually, it occurred to me earlier as we were talking, there's another one from one of Cliff Ravenscraft interviews about a month ago. But I don't know if that spoiler has ended up out there or what, but it's someone he interviewed and there was a spoiler, but I don't know. Like, I don't know how much you want spoilers or what, like.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid anything that's like too deep, but.
I would say this one. Yeah. I would say, leave it for a surprise.
All right.
It'd be cool. But yeah.
All right. So I guess that'll about do it. So Blog Talk Radio, I'm trying to find the, to see if they've actually posted that interview.
Oh, well, you can listen. You can at least stream it. There's an RS. Okay. I'm going to try.
Here it is.
Okay. You got it?
I think so. Yeah, here we go. Okay. So I'll give the, what's that?
Like, if you click iTunes, it'll open up, I think, an RSS thing in your podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see it now. So yeah, they already did post it. Well, wait a minute here.
I asked some really dumb questions. I think my favorite part of that interview was when these teenage girls are like, you know, young girls called in, you know, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, you know, it was really funny.
Uh-huh.
And that happened several times. It was really funny.
All right. Well, I'll put the link to the Lost Causes thing in the show notes, so people can listen to that interview if they would like to. And again, you know, you can check out that hitfix.com interview with Damon and Carlton, which also may contain some spoilers. And I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. So I think that'll do it for tonight. Unless you've got anything else, Alex.
No, that's it. But you know, this will really be my last, well, maybe not my last time calling in, because I may call in next week as I'm there. But, yeah, basically, you know, my last normal appearance on the Josh Meister podcast.
Yeah, yeah, we're coming down to the end. It's hard to believe that it's...
And I kind of already said my goodbyes a couple weeks ago, but, you know,
the same
applies now, so...
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right, well, until next time, stay lost and namaste.
You might as well face it, you're a Lost fanatic. Show off your fanaticism with one of several cool Lost designs on shirts, hats, stickers, and other items. Click on the Lost Fanatic shirt on the blog. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is The Lost Meister, that's TheLostMeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.